Good evening. Two of my biggest fears as a preacher, one is, and I guess it wouldn't be the end of the world, but that I didn't turn my cell phone off before getting up, and I could just imagine it going off during a lesson or something. But the other, which is terrifying to me, is to make sure I didn't have this on while I was singing. Because that could clear the whole room out. But luckily, it wasn't on until I flipped the switch. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Titus. The last time I had the opportunity to speak at night to you, we looked over the first chapter of Titus. It's a fascinating book. When I look at Paul and the relationship that he had with a number of people, but when I think of Luke, Timothy, and Titus, the relationship they had, the aid that they gave the Apostle Paul, the trust that Paul had in these people, I find that so admirable. And we looked at Titus, the first chapter last time, and just a brief summary of that was Paul had left Titus to set things in order and to appoint elders. And the reason that was what they were lacking. And it goes on to say, after the qualifications of an elder, he kind of gave one of the reasons why. Because there were insubordinate people doing things they should not. And that's one of the things that is taken care of with elders. And we need to remember that when this was written, it wasn't divided in the book, chapter, and verse and all that stuff. And it was a letter. And so we left off at the end of chapter 1 where Paul was reminding and instructing Titus to appoint elders, that they need these qualities. And there's insubordinate people whose mouths must be stopped. And that's one of the overwhelming tasks that an elder would have, is to protect the congregation from insubordinate people. And it goes right in to what we would call chapter 2. And he says, "But as for you," talking to Titus, "but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." This idea that some people have, that doctrine is relevant. You know, truth is relevant, depending on the time, the situation. Paul is saying, you speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine. There is such a thing as doctrine, and we've got to stick to it, Titus. And he goes on to say that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Oh, why did he have to throw that one in there? Every one of us, I would assume, has had people in our lives, maybe older people that we've been able to look up to, learn from, that mentored us. Whether it was an on-purpose mentoring or it happened, they've taken us under their wing. They've taught us. They've taught us maybe not verbally but through example, etc. And he's saying that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. that hopefully people looking to them, that these older people that others look to can learn from that. And he goes on to say in verse 3, the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands. Loving your husband is a learned thing. Loving your wife. Now, there's a difference. You can have passion for your husband or wife early on. The love that a husband and wife have is a growing, maturing, building relationship. And it's something that takes effort. Passion is easy. Passion, you can rev up passion by looking at somebody. You can get that passionate wave going pretty quick. That's easy to do. But Paul is telling Timothy to teach the older man to be an example in these ways. That the older women, they behave in X, Y, and Z way. One of these things that, and to admonish the older men or older women to teach the young women to love their husbands. Didn't say not to have passion for them. That's easy to do. But to love your husbands. To love their children. Sometimes you can do too much for your kids to their detriment. I'm guilty. I've done that. Want to do too much for them sometimes. That applies, I don't care whether it's in a family situation, friends, sometimes you can, you know, do too much. And I tend to sometimes want to cushion people too much. I'll take more on myself sometimes that maybe friends or your children or your husband, your wife, whatever, I'll take that load. And it's not always the best thing to do. Your heart's in the right place, but it's not always the best thing to do. But he says to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. I love Proverbs 11:22 because it says, a gold ring in a swine's snout. I love that wording. Basically, a gold ring in a pig's nose is like a lovely woman without discretion. Let the older women teach the younger women to be discreet, to be chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. Not that they're subservient, not that they're second, but you show your obedience to God by being a good wife, and vice versa. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Oh, we're saved by grace. Not, but Paul is saying we've got to have good works in our lives. What good is having faith as we're going to get into in our Sunday morning Bible study about the book of James. You know, what good is having works or faith if you don't have works? And here Paul is saying basically the same thing. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. A pattern is something that you follow. You know, when I was a kid building a model, you had instructions and a pattern to follow. When you're building something, if you're sewing something, you're cooking, you have that recipe. That's the pattern, and you follow it. If you don't follow it, it doesn't mean that it may not turn out, but it's not going to turn out the way it was designed to. We have to follow God's word like that. When I cook, I don't have a pattern. I love cooking. Love eating. I don't like to follow recipes. I'm one of those just pouring things in, stirring it up, and going that way. But you know what? If you do it that way, it doesn't turn out like the recipe says it should. When it comes to God's word, we have to follow. Paul is saying follow the pattern. In all things, not pick and choose, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Those are some strong words. Integrity. That's one of those things. And I guess if whether you call it your character, your values, your what you're made of, that's one of those things that nobody can take from you. And we've talked about this before. I know I've talked about it before. Everything we have can be taken from us. Our possessions could be stolen. They could be lost in a fire. They could, stolen, we could be robbed, they just decay, our health can be taken from us, our life literally could be taken from us, loved ones can be taken from us, everything we have can be taken, except things like our integrity, our character, our values, our faith, whatever, all those lumped up kind of together, they're very similar. When we lose those, we've given them up. No one takes them. If as a worker, as an employee, try losing your integrity with the boss and see how long you stay around. Try losing the integrity as a business owner. Well, those people that used to call you, I'm going to go with somebody else. They lie all the time. They don't live up to what they advertise. And that's what integrity is. It's your character. Living up to the way God wants us to. And Paul is urging Titus, in doctrine, not only your own person, but with doctrine, you have integrity. You have reverence. That's respect. You respect doctrine. You live up to it. You hold it high, in high esteem. Don't just trample over it with your feet. You hold doctrine high. And incorruptible. You don't corrupt. You don't pervert, dilute, add to, take away doctrine. Goes on in the same verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. There's lots of ways to communicate. Verbal communication is one way. We communicate with body language. We look at body language when if we're talking to someone. We can say an awful lot without saying a word. If somebody's talking to you about something important, and you're just... you're not saying a word, but you're saying an awful lot. It says sound speech that cannot be condemned. You can say a lot with your words. How you say something. The tone. Going back to husbands and wives. Stepping all over my toes now. You know, it's not, and I may be wrong. I have been known to be wrong once in a while. I would think, and you can talk to her later about it, I would think I'm more condemned, not so much what I say, more how I say it at home. I don't fly off the handle and cuss and rant and rave and roll. I don't think so much what I say is the wrong thing. It's how I say it. And Paul is reminding Titus that sound speech that cannot be condemned, that cannot be criticized. What you say, how you say it, with the attitude, the whole bit, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. Have you ever been in maybe a dispute or a disagreement with somebody? And they're loaded for bear. And I mean they come gunning. And you respond properly. It takes a lot of wind out of their tail. But you know what? If you respond back in kind, like they are, all of this is that fuel to the fire. One of the greatest examples that is burned into my brain was when I was a younger man, I saw a man approached an elder. And I want to talk to you, and I don't know exactly what he said. And he's going down before the guy can even say anything. This is in the middle of a lot of people. And the elder responded, kind of cut him off in the middle of his rant. You know, brother so-and-so, let's sit down and pray first. And it literally, it was as good as a throw punch. It just stopped the guy dead in his tracks. How do you keep going with venom when the person is saying, you know what? Let's cool jet. Let's slow down. Let's start this conversation off with a prayer. And I will always remember that the man was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I greatly looked up to him. And I still remember him and his influence to this day. to where they, your opponent will be ashamed not having anything evil to say. But if you hear how they responded back to me, you can defuse the situation with them. Verse 9, exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not filtering, not showing, excuse me, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I love those two passages, those two verses, that because it shows us we can be Christians in any and all circumstances of our life. We can be Christians, rich, poor, regardless of race, gender, age, it does not matter. Exhort bondservants, slaves. Be a good Christian as a slave. Be a good Christian as a boss. Be a good Christian as an older person, as a younger person, as a male, as a female. It's the great equalizer. The great equalizer. And then he goes on to say, how they in that circumstance can be good bondservants, not pilfering, don't steal from the master. Do a good job. When we go to our jobs tomorrow, and we are a good employee, or a good boss, or a good this, or a good that, we can show, as we're doing it for God, we can show our behavior to be a good employee, trustworthy, a good worker, somebody that isn't going to be criticized. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Again, regardless of race, creed, color, age, gender, income level, you name it. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. As long as it's now, live God. And if the now becomes later, and later becomes right now, live godly. Tomorrow, the next day, live godly. The grace of God. We're talking about the grace of God. We've talked about the works that we're required to do. Here's where the grace comes in. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Himself for good work. Isn't that the story of God? That our great God and Savior Jesus Christ gave himself for us. That's the story of the Bible. It was planned from the beginning. Because the blood of bulls and goats were not sufficient. In Hebrews 9. But the shedding, without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness. God provided his Son to do that, the perfect one. And it goes on to say that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself. He wants us to be purified for himself. His own special people.
next time you get to blow with me, next time you feel, oh, I'm no good, nobody likes me, God gave His Son to redeem you to Himself to be one of His own children. Wow. Wow. And to do what? To be zealous for good works. And in verse 15, speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Exhort, encourage. Push on. Push to better things. And rebuke. Both of them are sometimes hard to do. To encourage, to push people along to be better than they are at the time. Paul did that with Titus. Paul did that with Timothy. Paul did that with everybody he came in contact with. Encourage them. Push them to be better than they were then. Sometimes better than they wanted to be themselves. That's hard to do. It's to push somebody to be better than they want to be. Not everybody wants to progress. Paul is saying, exhort them, encourage them, push them, and rebuke them. Rebuking people is hard. To rebuke somebody, it's opening the floodlight, the floodgates on you. The spotlight is on you. You're trying to rebuke somebody. One of the first, well, who are you to tell me? And every glaring fault of yours comes right back to be examined when you rebuke somebody. So Paul is telling Titus, you exhort them and you rebuke them with all authority. Not based on you, based on the Bible. If you're going to encourage somebody, encourage them to be what God wants them to be, not what you want them to be. Not what you want them to be, not your standard, but by God's standard. And when you rebuke somebody, don't rebuke them by they're not living up to your expectations, but to God's expectations. And you do it with all authority, the authority based in the Bible. Stay within those bounds. And he finishes up, let no one despise you. If you live your life in a way that you earn the credibility, a lot of times people don't turn the tables on. But hey, you come and start to wag that finger at somebody, and on the other end of that finger is just a pile of mess. You don't have a lot of credibility. Telling somebody, even if what you're saying is based on the Bible, if you don't have the credibility, you don't get as far with that individual as if you live your life in a way where you have the credibility. It opens doors and it slows down in between here and kind of stays a little bit. But hey, if you're a hot mess spiritually and you're wagging that finger at somebody, it kind of keeps going with, even if what he said is correct, even if it's based on scripture, the person delivering can have doors shutting their face based on their credibility. And Paul is telling Titus, you don't do that. You live in a way where the doctrine and the gospel can be proclaimed. That's our lesson. If you need to respond to the invitation? Through baptism, through repentance, through prayers, through identifying with us here at South Valley, whatever your need. If you would come forward, let your needs be known. We will address those. Both Don leads us in the invitation. Let us stand and sing.